the chance to see that movie, by the way, that came out recently, which is called I Can Only Imagine. That's one I can recommend because tells about how that band came together. And he said he named him Mercy Me because that's what his grandma always said, Mercy Me. But that's a really good, it'll bless you. If you watch, if you didn't see it in the theater, it's probably out on DVD or something now, maybe. I'm not sure, and I'm not sure about this either. But anyway, Psalm chapter 142 is where we're at. I invite you to take your Bible and turn to that. While you're doing that, I want to point out a couple of things that are in the bulletin. This Wednesday night is the hamburger supper that the men's class puts on. So you guys come at 6:30 for that this Wednesday night. And also, Holmes County BSU, they're on the back collecting paper goods. And Tamara's sitting right by down here. And I want us to just overload her with these needs, okay? We can do that. Just pick up some extra stuff when you're shopping. And that's on that list there, and bring them up here, and we'll get them to her. And also, this is an interesting display down here on the Lord's Supper table that Fran, you guys put out here in memory of Butch, and that's really nice, and fitting, very fitting. So I thought it was very, very well thought out. So let's just rejoice with Brand today. Psalm 142 and verse 1, calling this prayer, Praying Under Pressure. Verse 1 says, With my voice I cried out to the Lord. With my voice I pled for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before Him. I tell my trouble before Him. When my spirit faints within me, You know my way. In the path where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see, there is none who takes notice of me. No refuge remains to me. No one cares for my soul. I cry to you, O Lord. I say you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring me out of prison that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and help us to understand your word. Help me, Lord, to deliver your word in the way that you want it done. And Father, we'll be careful to give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Another psalm here about David. David was called a man for all seasons because his life really ran the gamut of human experience and emotions. He had great faith, but there was times when he was also plagued with discouragement and depression. Oftentimes when we talk about David, we think he's someone we can really relate to because he went through all of the same kinds of experiences that we have and we do. It's said that this Psalm 142 is one of eight that David wrote while he was running from King Saul. And you'll notice at the top, if you have your Bible open, at the top of that chapter, it says, a prayer of David when he was in a cave. That's why I've got a picture of a cave up on the screen. We would call this cave, and thinking about David, and thinking about some of the things that go on in our lives, a cave of discouragement. Maybe you've been in such a cave in your life. I've been in that cave a few times. If so, maybe this morning we can learn some things from David. In 1 Samuel chapter 22, you don't have to turn there, but we read that David was in this cave and that hundreds of people came out to David and showed up there And they were also looking for relief from King Saul, who was continually oppressing them. These people were distressed. They were in debt. They were bitter in soul, the scripture tells us in 1 Samuel. And so here was David. David's in a cave trying to sort out his own things and trying to get help himself, trying to figure it out. And here's all these people that show up, and they're looking for answers from David, and he needed help himself. So what a mess that is. And so Psalm 142 gives us a record of what David was thinking and what he did. He did what any one of us should do when we're discouraged. He poured out his heart to God. That's what you do, by the way, when you're discouraged about anything or you're in need. You pour out your heart to God. So let's consider this morning David's predicament of discouragement. First off, David felt overwhelmed. In verse 3, he said, "My spirit faints within me." Because of this constant oppression from Saul and constantly having to look over his shoulder and running from Saul, David was overwhelmed. As I said earlier, he was a man of great faith, seemed like a very strong man, but all this trouble kept tipping him off base, you might say, and he was unable to remain spiritually strong as he had been. And now here's these hundreds of people at his doorstep expecting David to tell them what to do, and he's trying to figure it out himself. Not only was David overwhelmed with problems, but he also feels all alone. Have you ever been around a whole bunch of people and yet you felt alone? We've done that before, haven't we? Or have people around us all the time and still have a feeling of being alone? David, you notice in the scripture, didn't say that there wasn't anyone else there. He just said that no one cared for his soul. And so he felt that no one could possibly understand what he was going through. And I think we do that sometimes, don't we? We kind of pull in and think that there's nobody else that can understand what's going on in our life. And so what we do is we bury these problems deep within us because we feel like there's nobody that we can turn to. And that, my friends, is a very lonely situation to be in. Because you can be around people all day, every day, and still feel like you're alone. We build a shell around us, or we hide in a cave, per se. The truth is, we're not alone. We're never alone, are we? If we belong to Christ, we're never alone. He is always with us. Whether we're surrounded by people or we're physically alone, Jesus is there, right? Now, David is in a predicament. He's overwhelmed. He feels all alone. And he also feels depressed. Verse 6 said, David said he was brought very low. Some think that because you're a Christian, that you should never be depressed. Christians should never be depressed. But we see examples of that over and over in the Bible, don't we? Biblical characters that were depressed. And there's been people all down through history who became so depressed that they chose to take their own life. The future seemed so bleak to them, so full of despair and depression, that they felt like they couldn't go on. And David could have been very close to this point. Think about that. They're in that cave and trying to escape the harm of King Saul and being overwhelmed by all these people who've shown up looking to him for leadership. And these feelings of, you know, nobody is where I am. Nobody could possibly understand what I'm going through. Hope and joy were gone, and he turned inward, thinking that he was all alone in his struggles. He'd lost the peace of God because of allowing his circumstances to blot out anything that would help change things. David was in a predicament. He's overwhelmed. He's all alone and depressed. It made him feel like he was defeated. Verse 6 said, "Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me." That path of being constantly overwhelmed with life, often feeling alone, like nobody else understands, and being depressed about it, it's a dangerous path to be on. Now, some people will say, well, for an adult to feel like nobody understands me, you're just being a big baby. You need to get over it. That's some of the advice we get sometimes, isn't it? Get over it! That doesn't help a thing, does it? That doesn't help a thing. Well, you mean tell me to get over it? Why don't you get over it? Right? That's what we want to say. That just really makes me want to get in the flesh. But it's a dangerous path. And it's a dangerous path because it leads in a person throwing up their hands in defeat and giving up. And I think there's a lot of people these days that are right there, don't you? Right there. I give up. I'm sick of it. David may have been at that point of giving up, but praise God it didn't end there. It didn't end there. It's right here in this psalm. David rose up and defeated his own discouragement with prayer to the living God. Amen? All of these things, I'm telling you, Jesus is the answer. Jesus has the answer. He is the answer. And we must turn to Him in prayer when we feel these ways. David took his predicament to God. So let's consider that David defeated his discouragement and he overcame the predicament that he was in, and he did it with prayer. You say, well, that sounds simple. Well, is that what you're doing? You see, a lot of times we know the answer, don't we? We know the answer. You've heard the answer. Pray about it. You say, well, are you doing that? That's the question, right? What is prayer? Well, prayer is telling God about it. That's all it is. Telling God about it. David said in verses 1 and 2, he says, "I plead for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before Him. I tell my trouble before Him." Sometimes, for whatever reason, we hold things back from God. We don't want to tell Him anything. After all, doesn't God already know everything? Why doesn't He already know everything about me? Why should I bother to tell Him my troubles? He already knows. But simply put, we need to tell God our problems because that's what the Bible tells us to do, right? 1 Peter 5:7 says we're to cast all of our cares upon God. If God didn't intend for us to cast all of our cares upon Him, then why did He say it to start with, right? But there's more reasons than that why we should tell God about it rather than just doing it out of obedience. One reason is that when we tell God about it, it's like opening up to a close friend. There's something I struggle with sometimes. Do you? We've got a close friend, but we don't always open up to them, do we? And why is that? Well, I think for men, and I can speak for men because I are one. There's something about a man doing that I think makes us feel weak, right? We look less strong if we open up to someone and tell them what's really going on. I've got somebody that I work with that they can just read me like a book. They know what, I mean, they look at me and tell if I got something going on. They'll say, oh, what's going on with you today? Nothing. That's my stand. Hey, I'm the boss, man. I'm supposed to have it all together, right? Ain't nothing going on with me. What's the matter with you? But see, we won't. I'm telling you, it helps. It helps. And if you have struggles opening up to a friend or someone who's concerned, then first off, you need to learn to do that. But if you're not doing that, you can open up to God. If you can't open up to God, you got problems, right? And your problems are never going to get better because you won't open up to God, right? God's listening. It's healthy for us to open up and reveal what we've been burying inside. I got news for you. You can't tell God anything that's going to shock him, right? Well, if I tell God that I did this, I might shock him. You might shock your friends, but you're not going to shock God. You're not. Remember, you're not going to tell him anything that he doesn't already know, right? Prayer's helping you and me more than informing God about something that he might not know, and he knows everything. Matter of fact, whether we speak our problems out or we write them down, it's a good way for us to put things in perspective, because all of these things can load up on us, and we'll allow that to twist our, in other words, distort the facts about what's really going on. When we put our feelings into words of prayer to God, we start seeing things more clearly. Because when you're in the middle of a bunch of junk, it's like being in a fog and you can't see things around you very clearly. And you're not understanding, you're not thinking right. That's why it's important to give it to God. Tell God about it, because God's always listening. He is always listening. Notice again in verse 2, he said, I pour out my complaint to God. This gives us kind of the visual idea of a bucket. A bucket that I put all of my problems in, and I take that bucket and I just pour them out at God's feet. Just pour it all out. Nothing left in the bucket. Pour it all out at God's feet. Give all those issues to him. He's willing to help you with those things. Why not? Why are you trying to deal with it? Dump it off with God. But at the same time that we're dumping our bucket before God, we got to be sure that we praise him. Amen. Thank God you got a place to dump your bucket. Because I'm going to tell you, your friends may not want you dumping your bucket at their house, right? But God will let you dump your bucket at his house anytime. I'm glad to know that this morning. I don't know about you. Because it seems like sometimes when I dump my bucket out, it fills back up again. And when I look in the bucket, there's some of the same old things in there that I thought I dumped out before, and they're back in my bucket again. Why is that? Because I'm worrying about it. I'm worrying about it. That old thing of worry. I mean, that gets me every time. Worrying. Prayer is the way we tell it to God. Prayer also helps us to feel God's presence. David Jeremiah told of a friend's little girl who had been to Sunday school, and she learned this lesson in there of God never says oops. God never says oops. It's a great lesson because our problems never take God by surprise. God didn't look down from heaven one day and see David in a cave with his head in his hands trying to figure out his problems and say, oops, I didn't know David was in that kind of shape. Yes, he did. He knew where David was at, and he knew all the path that David took in order to get to the place where he wound up. And he knows the same thing about you too, doesn't he? He knows every step we take. He knows how we got there. And so praying about it helps us feel God's presence. David said in verse 3, when my spirit faints within me, you know my way. That's what it means. God, you know my way. You know where I've been. You know where I'm going. All of these things. God knew right where David was the whole time. And he knows the path you're on. Right? And he knows if you're on the wrong path right now. I want you to consider David, for instance. David wound up in that cave because of choices that he made. David wound up in that cave because he stepped off on the wrong path. And see, we right now need to think about that. If we're on the wrong path, we could end up in the cave. Right? And we don't want to be like that. We got to remember that we're not alone. Sometimes we're tempted to think that because no one else is around, that God isn't either. Because no one else knows how we feel, God doesn't either. Because nobody else is willing to listen, well, God's not willing to listen either. But none of that's true. He's always there. And to realize that is the first step to having solutions for our predicament. Prayer means telling God about it. Prayer helps us feel God's presence. And prayer will help us to know that God will provide. Amen? At the end of verse 5, David acknowledged that God is my portion in the land of the living. That meant to David, and it means to us, that God will take care of us now while we're in the land of the living. See, your decision for Christ is not just pie in the sky by and by, is it? No, it's right now. It's while we're in the land of the living. God has promised us eternity by trusting Christ as Savior. But it's more than that. He will provide for us now and while we're in the land of the living. David rejoiced in that. He rejoiced in that. And this morning, the God that David rejoiced in, the God that helped David get out of his predicament, will help us. He's the same God, isn't he? The same one. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. That's what the Scripture says, isn't it? Same God. He's still our refuge. He's still our portion, our provision in the land of the living right now. And then notice another thing, one more thing. David concluded his prayer with praise. The psalm started out with David crying out to the Lord, and at the end, he said, God will deal bountifully with me. That's it, isn't it? Is that not the perfect model prayer for you and I? We start by pouring out our heart to God, and we end it knowing that God's going to deal bountifully with us. End your prayer thanking God for what He's going to do, right? Thanking God for what He's going to do because we poured out our lives to Him. David began his prayer under pressure, you might say, and he ended it with praise. He's once again ready to live his life for God. As I studied this passage, I'm reminded once again that life is full of problems and they're way too big for me to handle. right? Life is full of problems, and it's too much for me to handle. I've got to tell Jesus. I've got to believe that Jesus is with me always. I must believe that He's interested in helping me, and He'll listen to me, and He doesn't mind me dumping out my problems at His feet. As a matter of fact, He's asked me to do that. I must believe that He'll take my problems and deal bountifully with me. Amen? I can't do nothing about your problems. I can't do nothing about the problems at work. I can't do nothing about personally about the problems with this country. But I have a God that can. And I lift these things up to Him. I've got to believe it. And I might not see everything that God is doing, but I must believe that He's working. Like I say, I can't do anything about your problems, and you can't do anything about mine. But we both know God, don't we? And we can pray for each other. And that helps to get us out of a cave of discouragement. We've got to tell Jesus about it, right? Tell it to Jesus. I think there's a song like that, seems like. Tell it to Jesus. He'll understand. Amen.